Hey, what's going on? How's everyone doing? Drew, what's up, man?
How's it going?
Good, how are you? How was your day?
Oh, just hanging out at school and work. And now we're gonna get to talk with you, so it should be a good day.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. Thanks for putting this together.
Of course. Thank you for taking some time out of your day. Been trying to get you in here for a while now.
This was over a month ago we planned this, huh?
Right. I think I sent you an initial DM maybe like a year ago.
You're not kidding, yeah. March 28th, a year ago. How about that?
Yeah.
Wow, cool. Good stuff.
Well, how we get started? Do you need anything specific from us?
Why don't we record this? Okay, I'm sending the request to record to this computer. I'm trying to record it in the background too. And then I can post it if anyone wants to rewatch it, re-listen to it, anything that comes up that's helpful, whatever helps.
Well, whenever you're ready, we can get started. We'll just hear a little bit about you, where you're from.
Recording in progress.
Yeah, awesome. All right. What's the state? Let's go. Thanks for everyone for coming out. And we'll have a Q&A. I'll open up the floor to a Q&A. So anyone that wants to ask me any personal questions that I could help out with, I'll do that at the end. But Drew, so I have the list of questions here that you wanted to that you helped put together. You want to just start from there and then at the end we'll do Q&A. Anyone wants to ask questions live like that?
That's perfect. This is pretty extensive, so if you feel like anything we can skip over or anything like that, just let me know.
Let's run through it. Who are you? I'm Brendan. I'm a oral surgery resident. Let's see. I'm in my last year of residency, 4 out of 4. Some residencies are 6. They get their MD, although for what I want to do, private practice, you don't need your MD. Actually, I just put up a post today explaining how, there's really no difference between the 4-year and 6-year MD tracks. There's no difference in what procedures we do. There's no, like, there's the only difference is literally they spend 2 months in medical school, which from my perspective, I was like, I'm going to oral surgery residency for oral surgery. I want to be doing that the entire time in residency. I don't want to be going away for 2 years, which is literally what happens. You spend 2 years in medical school. So I felt like that would be an interruption to my training. Why would I want to interrupt it for? And you also have rotations in anesthesia for 6 months. You're full on anesthesia resident. You have rotations in general surgery, hand and plastic surgery. You have trauma surgery, general surgery, bariatric surgery, MICU, SICU, medicine for a couple months, ED rotations. So how many months? I just mentioned 6 months plus like 8 or 9 rotations. So already more like 1.25 years of my 4 years, I'm off service anyway. So, all right, let's continue. Where am I from? I'm from Long Island, New York. The town I grew up in is Smithtown. I'm planning to move back out there after I graduate in a couple months and buy my hometown house. I'm not looking for like a mansion or anything extravagant. I just want to build the house I grew up in into, I don't know, something comfortable. And it's nice because it's like I know the house, I know the neighborhood. So that's why I figured let's do that, you know? Let's not make life so complicated all the time. Why did you choose to go into dentistry over other fields? Yeah, you know, this is a question I get a lot too. You know, I was looking into medicine, go to medical school or MD. Or PA school. My aunt's a PA. She's very hard worker, very smart, you know, good lifestyle. And essentially, I shadowed a bunch of doctors. I shadowed a bunch of dentists. The dentists that I shadowed, I had met all of them at the gym. They used to go to the gym at like 5 a.m. on weekday mornings and at 7 a.m. when it opened on weekends. And they were always so energetic, so enthusiastic, and very motivating. And they became my mentors over the last, what, like 8, 9, 10 years now. And so I think it's really important to follow your mentors. Mentors that are really, you know, there for you and trying to help you out. They all own their own practices, which is pretty cool. None of the doctors I shadowed own their own practices. Hint, hint. So, you know, I kind of like the idea of being able to own my own practice, have autonomy over my own procedures, the patients that I want to meet, and still have an opportunity to do surgery. Working with your hands either way in dentistry, generally, unless you do a specialty like dental anesthesia, you might not be doing general dental procedures. So really, it came down to quality of life, long story short. And I still do feel that there is a better quality of life in dentistry than there is in medicine, although it is becoming corporatized, which can change that now. Next question was, what's up?
I can read these off to you and sort of elaborate on them as well, if that's all right.
Please, that would be great. Yeah.
So what sort of things did you do in undergrad to prepare your application to dental school? What things do you think helped you get the best odds of getting into a good school?
In undergrad, I think the school you come from can help. It's not 100%, and it'll be all. School can help. The DAT score, obviously you need a strong score in order to get into dental school. DAT is very important. Your GPA, letters of recommendation, shadowing hours at dental offices. It's nice to get a variety of shadowing at dental offices. I mean, variety of specialties. Doesn't have to be do that specialties, but it doesn't also only have to be general dentistry or orthodontics or, you know, it's even through dental school, as long as you get exposed to a number of, you know, a variety of the specialties, I think you have a good idea on what you want to go into. You know, you get some hours to figure out what you really want to do for your career. And so that's more dental school, though, not necessarily pre-dent. And then after that, I would say, I mean, my clubs, I did research in undergrad that not like required to apply to dental school, but can help your application, right? Shows that you're pretty well-rounded. So I think that's...
Okay. And the change from, or the change of pace, I guess, from undergrad to dental school, you're going from like 15 credits to maybe 30 in a semester.
Yes.
What classes do you think you would recommend taking in undergrad to help that transition, make it a little easier, or if that even helps at all?
I mean, you could try and load your plate up with 20 plus credits in a semester, but then, you know, that might actually work against you and hurt your GPA or less time to study for the DAT. So I can't recommend doing that. The transition isn't really something you could prepare for. I mean, if you were to prepare for it, most literally is, I tell everyone in dental school, you got to work on two things, efficient and effective studying. Effective studying is the obvious, working your ways up, C's, B's, A's. Efficient studying is maintaining those A's, but studying for it less and less, right? That's the hard part, right? Because if you're studying for an average of 32 credits a semester, which is what dental school is, they say, that's what they told me on my interview trail, you're going to have multiple tests on the same day many times. We had tests, 3-4 tests sometimes, like exams, like final exams on the same day sometimes. And so that's something you need to consider. The way you get good at that, you just get used to studying less and maintaining those high scores. The way to do that, so that's what you got to do, obviously. How you do it, the way I figured it out was Quizlet. Quizlet I liked because you could put the figures on there. The figures I would upload would be like x-rays, clinical photos, histology, pathology, syndromes, condition, whatever it may be, right? And making the Quizlet cards would be question, answer. And then within that question, sometimes I'll do question, that card, it'll be questions A, B, and C. Any more than that's a little bit too much. But then this way you can have three questions on one similar topic and keeping the same photo. I think the photos, you know, the clinical photos, x-rays are important for photo recognition. We're very visual learners. And that's just repetitions, just cards, repetitions, working on the ones you get wrong, star them and redo them later on. That's how I did it. So a little insight from there.
And what sort of things do you think set you apart from other applicants? What things made you stand out to administrators, whatever you want to call them, when you're in your interviews?
For dental school, I'm from the area. And over the years, I was shadowing dentists in the area. And one of them was actually faculty of the school. And then the other two became faculty of the school. So it was like, I don't know if they put in a word for me, but I had some background knowledge of the schools, of the training, I was able to use names of people that I shadow, and they're like, oh yeah, I know Dr. Dakesh. Oh yeah, I know Dr. Hannah, Dr. Leary, you know, and that kind of helps. It's like when you go out in public and you meet someone, they're like, oh, you know, so-and-so. And then it kind of connects the dots and it makes you feel a little more welcome, you know, or a little bit more connected with the interviewer in this case. Yeah.
So in a scenario, like, so Idaho doesn't have a dental school, so we have to go out of state, so we can't really shadow and it's like that. What sort of things would you recommend in that sort of scenario?
Yeah, that's going to be very challenging. I totally understand that. From that perspective, I think you got to see, where's the nearest dentist that you can meet who is faculty member or who has connections at dental schools around your, in the state surrounding your area? If there's going to be a dentist in your town, they had to go to dental school somewhere, right? So I think that would be a good start, you know, and maybe they came all the way out on the East Coast. It could be anything. You can look for recent graduates. The best thing is going to be getting faculty members at dental schools, but you might not be able to find that. That's something to consider. You gotta find that dental school that you really want to go to. And then you might be a flight to your aunt who lives on the west coast of Florida. And then you're going to go visit LECOM, or you're going to visit Nova, Southeastern, you got to think about connections. It's not 100%, but it will help.
Well, then I guess that's what it takes us into. I wanted to talk a little bit about your gap year. I know a lot of students are taking gap years. And I just want to hear, what was your reasoning for taking gap year? What were some of the things you did? And how do you think these helped your application in the end?
Oh, yeah. As far as helping the application, I don't know if it helped my application necessarily. Although in that gap year, I did work for an oral surgeon as a surgical assistant. And two other jobs. I did two other lifeguarding jobs. So I don't know if it helped, but if it did, it probably would have been because I used that year to work for a dentist and get more exposure and learning. And then I could talk the language of dentistry is like a whole nother language. So is medicine. So is probably veterinary medicine. So is Chinese, you know, different languages. But literally dentistry, you're only going to learn by being thrown in it and in dental school. You're not in dental school yet. So how are you going to do it? You got to get in that office, in that environment. That'll be a dental office setting, right? And just talking with dentists, dental hygienists, then other dental assistants, learning from them. But why did I take a gap year? I didn't necessarily want to take a gap year. Going into it, it kind of feels more of like, oh, I'm behind schedule now. You start feeling self-conscious. And then when you start dental school, you might get that quote-unquote imposter syndrome. These are all normal things, right? But for me, I was kind of leaning more towards medical school in the beginning. And then I met the dentist that was third year of college. I met them in high school and beginning of college, but I only shadowed them my third year, in between third and fourth year of college. So I was like, this is what I got. And then I made the switch and I was like, I don't even want to take the MCAT anymore. I'm just going to do the DAT and apply from there. So I had to take a gap year, you know, and I would look at gap years. I wouldn't be afraid of them. Take them if you need to, but maximize them to the best possible ability that you can. After my gap year, I was like, can I get another one? I don't want to go to school again. And then you did, and then you have to. But, you know, that's the kind of gap year you want to have, where it's like, I wish I could have another one. You're going to look back on your gap year. If you push it to the max, you know, like your cup's half full, spill your cup over it, throw as much on your plate as possible, try out as many new things, travel, see friends, you know, not just work, but like try new things, read new books, try music producing, start a new instrument, learn a new language, little things like that. And guess what? That's going to actually be something that you can connect with your interviewer on that interview day. So in my gap year, the first thing I did was take the DAT. As soon as I graduated in mid-May from Stevens Institute of Technology, I hit the ground running. I had a little over a month to study for the DAT. It was like a month and a half between June, and then I took it in mid-July. So a month and a half. I had a month and a half to study for it. Study for that. Then I traveled a little bit, started working in August, September for the oral surgeon's office. Did that the whole year, lifeguarding and interviews in that fall. And yeah, so I mean, that's what the gap year was. Oh, you're muted.
There we go. So definitely maximize that year if you're going to take that gap year.
And maximize it, just like looking forward. If this might be so hard to understand, because if someone was to tell me like do what you want to do, and you're like, I want to go to dental school. I want to go get into residency. So it's more of like, if you know, you know, in hindsight. But the fact of the matter is like you know that one thing that you died always wanting to do. You want to, like I said, you know, travel to that country, to that place, or try that new instrument, or try that music producing. That was my big thing. And in that gap year, I wanted to try to produce music. And just go for it. And just, that's what I mean. Explore all avenues. That's your exploration year. In addition to working, you can work at a dentist office 3 to 5 times a week and do whatever you want that year too. You know, they're not expecting you to be a full, like, master's degree, full-time employee in that year necessarily. So that makes sense.
And we're all traveling out where everybody's applying. Well, a good amount of people are applying to dental schools here soon and taking their DAT. And so I was just curious, what sort of things were you looking for in a dental school? Didactic/clinic experience, research, price, location, those sort of things.
The biggest thing for me was I wanted to make sure that I had the opportunity to apply to specialties. Not apply to specialties, I wanted to go to a dental school that has a higher percentage of their class that matches into specialties, okay? In my area, Stony Brook's one of them, UConn, Harvard, Columbia, UPenn, mostly Ivy League schools, higher academic. They take a lot of high academic applicants, so to say. But because I knew that I was interested in oral surgery, but I wanted to figure out what was out there. And everyone kept hounding me saying that you got to go into a specialty, you got to go into a specialty. So from that standpoint, I wanted to go to a school where they match a significant percentage of their class into specialties. Stony Brook's a very small school. And my year, we matched 4 out of 4. The year before, I forget, but then the year before that was like 5 out of 5. The year before that was 6 out of 6. And I knew people from the dental school there because I met them at the gym as well, actually, believe it or not. That was a big factor for me. And if you're interested in specialties, you're probably going to want to go to a place where they have a decent percentage, because that's going to be better possibility for you to get into it. Next, clinical experience, I would say definitely, because if you end up in general dentistry, you want to be good at general dentistry. So clinical experience, and generally the bigger school you have, that doesn't necessarily mean they have the same percentage faculty at that big school. I can tell you it doesn't work that way, because I'm near another dental school right now, and the faculty percentage ratio per students is completely different. So having 44 students in my class, we're like the third or fourth smallest dental school in the country. I got a lot more hands-on, like, you know, one-on-one time with faculty members. That's what I'm getting to, okay? Another thing was, I mean, it was close to home. That really wasn't a big factor of mine, but it served to be important to me. It depends on your situation. My grandma was diagnosed with cancer my last year of college, and she passed away my last year of dental school. So she was 4 years of trying to push against recurrent cancer. And if I was in Buffalo, if I was in your state, you know, if I was all the way on the West Coast or Florida, I wouldn't be able to visit her throughout dental school. And now that's not a reason to necessarily pick a dental school, but I got very lucky in where all the stars aligned. Tuition, that's another big thing. That's probably not the last thing on your list. There might be one more, but tuition is very important. It is, because you got to think about if you know 100%, like maybe here's a good way to think of, are you going to specialize or go into general dentistry? If you have a family member that owns their own dental practice, that's very hard. That's becoming harder and harder to obtain as a clinician these days. And that's something to heavily consider. Maybe you do want to go into endodontics, right? But your mother owns this office, or both your parents work in this dental office. I know people like that too. That's something really to consider, because by working in an office, you already have two mentors that probably love you. Hopefully, you know, you get along with them after college, dental school type of time. They're going to be good mentors. They're going to care about you. And you have a practice that if you learn and show that you're interested in working there, and they're going to give it to you. They are. They're going to give it. Now, you might have to pay for it in some way, shape, or form, but they're going to hand it off to you, right? And then you're going to have your own autonomy. There are some of these DSOs, these corporate institutions, when you want to work in practice after dental school, after residency, that might change your autonomy when you're working for someone else, or if you're working for a corporation that kind of has their own rules and regulations, right? So that's something to consider. And then the third point, even when you go into general, you can still really hone into your focuses. If you love endo, you can do root canals as a general dentist, right? It's not only endodontists. They're just the specialists in it. And maybe you're really good at doing maxillary molars endo. You know, that's a possibility. So it's not the end of the world, right? That's just something I'm going to throw out there. It's kind of separate, but I think it's very important. Was there any other parts of that question?
Not entirely. No, you had talked about school name and how that can help when you're going into specialization.
It can help. Sometimes different state schools that generally don't have students graduating with like outstanding GPAs or the name of the school just, I mean, like Ivy League schools, they usually stand out on applications to graduate or professional schools, right? That's just simple.
I guess we can go into interviews. Does anybody have any questions right now? I think we're probably okay, and we can wait till the end as well. Okay. So with the interviews, and we have some students that are getting ready to take their DATs and go into that whole process, what sort of things in your interviews did you do to make yourself look good without coming off too arrogant? Like, how do you find that sort of happy place?
I mean, so you're going to be asked 4 main questions, you know, like tell me a little something about yourself, and don't talk your ear off like I'm talking to you guys right now. Keep it like under a minute, minute and a half, and just try and kind of give a course of your life that represents you in a way that they can connect with. You want to connect with that interviewer. It's not a multiple choice exam. They're going to ask you a bunch of questions, but it's going to be a conversation. Again, it's not an exam, okay? So tell me a little something about yourself. Tell me your strengths. Tell me what you think your weaknesses are. Why dentistry and why our dental school? So 5 questions, give or take, right? You could couple up 2 of those. But that's really, I would just start with a general outline of those and put bullet points of like something that's unique to you. You want to give unique qualities. You don't just want to say, oh, well, I want to work my hands the rest of my life. Why do you want to treat patients? What was an experience that really stuck with you that makes you passionate about pursuing this career? I think that's really it. You know, it's chatting with the person. I did an interview at Toro. I still remember to this day. He saw my application that I played basketball in college. That's another thing I did in college. He talked to me the entire time, the entire like half hour interview, 29 minutes of it was basketball. It's like, what school? Oh man, I got to head out of this interview. Like right after this interview, I got to go bring my son to his game. He's in high school. And I was like, oh, awesome. You know, that's great. I remember those shoes, you know, is he going to training and stuff? And there we go. We're connected. By the end of the interview, he's like, what do you think? You want to go here? Where else are you looking at? It's like, now he's asking me if I want to go there. You know, I'm like, I'm interviewing with you guys. What do you think? But it's fine. And you can ask questions too on interviews, right? You're getting to know them. They're getting to know you.
And you talk about keeping it as more of a conversation and not like that multiple choice exam. Were you able to practice wrapping in those big points about your application, like keeping how to make yourself look as good as you possibly could while also trying to figure out a word.
Well, I mean, you know, you should have. Here's another thing. A common mistake that people make is, you know, they made their CV, their resume 9 months ago, and then they come into an interview and there's one thing on there that's like, oh, tell me this nitty gritty thing about your research paper that you publication. Or actually, someone told me this. They were like, someone asked me on my interview what the title was of my publication, and I froze up and I couldn't answer it. And it made them look so bad because it made them look like they didn't even do it and they just threw it on their resume. So you don't want that. You should know your resume in and out, eyes closed, front to back, back to front. You know what I mean? And basically, you should, when they ask you questions, you're going to be answering it from your experiences. You're not going to be lying to them, and pretty much just kind of giving them further insight of what your personal statement, your application, your resume, and your experiences have been in a dental office and in undergrad, right? So it's just that, but keeping it a conversation. Like when you go out in the world, like I would lifeguard and I would go to the gym. And at the gym, every time you walk in, it's like you see someone you know. Like, oh, you know Jack, you know Josh, you know Cynthia, you know Margaret, you know Angela. You know, it's just a conversation. Like, hey, Angela, what's going on? What are you working out today? Here you are. You're in an interview. It's like, hey, how's the day going? Right? It's like people want to make it more complicated than it is. It's not an exam. Just chat a little bit.
Okay, awesome. That's all I really had about the interview. Is there anything important that you feel would be good to know surrounding interviews? Just keep it casual.
With the interviews, I think keeping it casual is the, you want to be professional though. You don't want to be too casual. Some people will be cracking jokes and laughing really loud. You got to assess the situation. You know, one of the things, I mean, my interviews to oral surgery residency was COVID year, so everything was virtual. It's going to be different. Presumably he's going to go to dental school interviews in person, but I would try and match the size of the person's head in the, I mean, this is the little thing, but these things add up. You know what I mean? You don't want to be like here. When the interviewer is like way back here, it's kind of like if you're making eye contact with someone, but they're looking at your forehead or your lips, it's like awkward, you know? So it's a little nitty gritty thing. You know, it's not going to make or break anything, but it's a funny thing that actually goes a long way. Stuff like that. Let's see. Anything else on the interview? Definitely research the school beforehand. You know, what's unique about that dental school compared to the other ones that you're applying at or that are out there that are nearby? Point them out. Mention them on the interview. If it's something that you're interested in about it, say it. If there's not something that you're, you know what I mean? Like, don't say it. Don't talk about it.
I guess we'll go into dental school and some of those topics. But one thing is, you talk about managing all those, like you'll have four tests in a day. What were some of the ways that you managed all that? Like what were some online resources, mentality going into it, strategies you had? You talk about the effective and efficient studying.
Yep.
Anything else besides that?
Yeah, for the how-to with studying, that's how to do it, the effective and efficient studying. For organization and prioritization, which actually helps with like anxiety and a lot of pressure throughout undergrad, I didn't figure this out to my third year. Actually, high school too. High school, undergrad, and my first 2 years of dental school. I had one of those planners. It's like a book where every day is a new column, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And you don't have time like that anymore. I would get used to this in undergrad, honestly. I would get whatever you use. Use reminders, that app, do you... Stop writing things down. Like this is 2025. We have AI now. AI's on the computer. We have Word, Excel, PowerPoint. Everything's on the computer now. Let's stop writing things down. It's 2025. We got to go forward a little bit. And why is that going to be advantageous to you? Because it's more reps. It's faster. Studying, it's faster. It's faster. And so what I figured out was let's throw out the planner. Let's go to the phone. I found this app. It was the highest rated one. This is 8 years ago now. This is 6-7 years ago now. It's Microsoft To Do. I'm not like a influencer for Microsoft To Do. I'm not getting any money for this. This is literally what I use every single day. It's a to-do app, to-do list app, and you can like cross things off in each module of your like to-do list. You can have an inner list. You can organize them into folders on the side. So I would organize all my classes. I would organize all my side company work. I would organize all my patient list stuff, all like my meetings, events, parents' birthdays, if you need to do that, you know, whatever you need to do. And you could set them to repeat. It's also like a calendar, right? So you can have it repeat every day, every week, every first Monday of the month, literally whatever you want. And I would just have the things that I need to do every day, repeat every day, everything every Monday, every Sunday, laundry, groceries, whatever, every Sunday. And I would just cross them off. Every day you wake up, just start crossing things off. When you get really stressed, go back to the to-do list, rely on that to-do list and cross things off as you need to do them. This is how I maximize my day, like incredibly. Yeah, I think that again, it helps with anxiety. It helps keep your thoughts clear. It helps you with studying because you can get everything in a row. That's something I would start practicing that now in undergrad.
Preventing burnout from school. It's a lot of school, not much time for yourself, I assume. Yeah. What were some of the ways that you prevented burnout and stayed focused when times got tough?
Yeah, and I can promise you, it's more and more stuff on the plate. The least amount of things on your plate is going to be that gap year. You know, in an undergrad, you always got something on the plate. Although, God, I wish I could go back to undergrad where you have like entire afternoons off or entire days off. That's pretty sweet. That's hard to find. But with burnout, it's you know, what do you do for fun on the side? Do you exercise? Do you cook? Do you go for long runs or hikes? Do you have a dog and you like to bring your dog for a walk? All these things are great. Your hobby, you could be knitting. Some people, there's a guy in my residency, he's a DJ. I don't have time to music produce anymore, but I have two LLCs on the side right now that I do a lot of projects in them, and it advances my oral surgery. I guess it will be private practice outside. And it also keeps me like excited to not only do the oral surgery, but also know how to market it. And then when I talk to my future boss, I guess, if you will, or other people in the field that own their own practices, which is what I aspire to have one day, we could talk about stuff. So I don't know. Just stick with those hobbies and things that interest you on the side, and make sure you don't just cut them out. Like, I cut out my workout today because I ran out of time, but I'll get it in tomorrow. So also don't beat yourself up for missing things. Don't beat yourself up for poor exam scores. Definitely use every exam that you're unhappy with as a learning experience, but don't let it linger on you. Just let it like motivate for the next test, because that's all you can do at that point, and try and figure out what went wrong so it doesn't happen again.
Does anybody have any questions about dental school for him before we go on to the next topic?
Let's see, okay. Where we at. Yeah, preparing for MFS, reflection wrap up. Once you get it, so that was interviews and then
right.
Prevent burnout. I see where I'm at. Cool. Yep.
Well, I guess we can get into specializing. What do you believe, and this, I guess, also goes back to dental school interviews, but what do you believe sets a strong applicant apart from others? What sort of things do they typically have? Like, do they have their ducks in a row? What things do they present with?
Most people do have their ducks in a row. I would say some people are overconfident. You know, definitely recognize where you're interested in learning more about. Some people very robotic, too, I noticed, in interviews. Some people, it's not a multiple-choice exam, and people get very... Some people are shy and maybe get a little anxiety with the pressure. Sure, everyone does, you know, to different levels. That's one thing. But then to be very robotic on an interview is kind of annoying, you know. So preparing to specialize and what makes you stand out from other applicants. I mean, you want to make sure you have enough exposure to that. With oral surgery, especially, it's externships. It's when you spend a week at an oral surgery program, shadowing, assisting. Just spending the whole week with them, doing everything that they do, hopefully assisting and kind of getting to see what they do in the OR, in the clinic, on the rounds, with their inpatients, with their outpatients, and stuff like that. Maybe taking call with them overnight. That's a big thing that you can do as an extern. Some programs will let you take out teeth at their program. We have that here. And yeah. Exposure. Guys, exposure. You got to get a lot of exposure. If you're in between medical and dental school, you just need to get more exposure until one day you wake up. This is literally how you work. Maybe not one day, but you just start to get this gut feeling. Your intuition is telling you, you know, I really don't want to look at gangrene on these people's toes anymore in medical school. This is what happened to me. I'm like, I had enough of gangrene. Teeth? Yeah, I don't mind teeth. And then I saw oral surgeon. I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. You could change someone's life with your teeth. And that's what we do now.
And then another question is, what would you have done if you didn't get into a residency on your first try applying?
Yeah, I mean, I would try and think, you know, self-awareness is probably the number one key through this entire process, right? Because you want to end up going into a career that you're happy with. You don't want to end up being stuck or feel like you're in a box or like you're underwater in this career and you can't go out and you can't escape, because that can happen too if you end up somewhere where you're not that excited. So that's why I can't harp enough. You need to observe and get as much exposure to these careers and these different career paths within dentistry, different specialties, for example, before you go into them, okay? And you were, wait, I just lost my train of thought with, can you repeat the question one more time?
Just like, what would you have done? What sort of steps would you have taken if you didn't get into a residency on your first attempt?
Yes. So back to, yes, excellent. Thank you. Back to the self-awareness. What do you think it was that you didn't get in? Like, why do you think you didn't get in? Was it your CBSE score? That's like the DAT, right? So applying to dental school is like, was it your DAT score? You got to be honest with yourself with these questions. You got to ask people, do you think it was this, or, you know, try and think about these things and then figure it out. So for me, if I didn't get in, I would probably be asking around, like, what do you think? But you're essentially, you're going to know, because how many interviews did you get? Did you get one, two, maybe three interviews? Then there's something on your application that you need to beef up a little bit, whether it's your GPA, whether it's your shadowing hours, probably not your shadowing hours. It's going to be your DAT or your GPA, essentially, right? Or you got something on one of your letters of recommendation where they're like, not a great student, okay? That's what that's going to be. For oral surgery residency, you'd have to think about it. It's like, is it my GPA? Is it my class ranking? Is it one of my letters of recommendation? Maybe I didn't do enough externships. If you did one externship and it was like a half-assed one that you did at your own program, maybe you need to do more externships. If you got a very high CBSE score, but you only did one externship, well, maybe you need to do more externships at more programs. Maybe you do need to do a non-categorical year. It's when you spend a year as like a quote-unquote resident at an oral surgery program, but you're not a matriculating resident at the program. So you do 1 year and then you're gone. You just do the intern year and then you leave. Maybe you need to do that because you got an 80 on the CBSE. That's a very strong score. And now you just need more exposure into the specialty and they need to see what you're like. So self-awareness, you need to be able to ask these questions to yourself honestly and figure out what it was missing on your application, why you didn't get in, and go and do it better. You know, bring up that GPA, get a better CBSE score, stuff like that. Back to your question now, if I didn't get in, either reapply, could have taken the CBSE in, I could have done a non-categorical year. I might have even just gone into general dentistry because I knew dentists that owned their own practice at the time and just getting straight like mentoring from them and just moving on with my life from there. I don't really know. I kind of just kind of did the Tony Robbins burn the boats quote and focused only on oral surgery my third year and on and just went for it. And in fact, I didn't even apply. I applied to 2 6-year programs out of all of the 20, 30, 40 applicant, whatever I put in. I only applied to 2 6-years. The rest were 4 years. I kind of had an idea of what I wanted to do at that point, you know, back to the self-awareness.
And something I was curious about. So let's say you apply and you go and do all your interviews for oral surgery and then you don't match into any specialty. Are you able to reapply to like a AEGD or a GPR or something like that? Or do you have to wait until the next match cycle? I was just like, what's the process?
Some residencies usually leave a couple spots open for either students at their dental school who didn't match to go to, or yeah, you could generally GPR or AEGD. You can usually get that as like a follow-up, like a post-match. They call it post-match. So yeah, generally you can find an opportunity out there.
Perfect. How did you get connected to the residency? So you talk about going on externships. Do you just shoot an email to some sort of, I'm assuming they have something on a website for you to reach out to?
Yeah, email. I was always a phone call person. I like to get as close or as connected as someone as possible in the terms of like communication. So if you can meet someone in person, I literally went to one program and brought them like a letter, just, hey, you know, you have any open spots? And they had one and they gave it to me. And the person calling, they didn't pick up the phone because I was there, you know, kind of thing. Next thing after that would be emailing. If you go on the program's website, you can find someone's email or phone. It's probably just going to be their email there. But if you do a lot of extensive digging, you might be able to find a phone number. That's it. It's phone and email. Yeah.
And how did you get an idea of a sort of culture at those residency programs? Like, what did you use, like a student doctor network or anything like that?
I used the externship at that program. You spend a week there. You kind of have an idea. And it's not 100%. You know, it's just a week. You really need months to get an idea of what this program's like. Because different residents rotate through. That's one thing. So you might not meet the bad or the great residents, unfortunately. The other thing is on these externships, you're spending time with residents at that program. You know, in the younger level residents, first, second years, fourth years, first, second years, they recently did their applications trail, right? They recently externed at programs as well. So you can ask them about what other programs that they externed at, which ones they might have liked or didn't like. So you can utilize those residents to pick their brain and see what they liked or didn't like, you know? That's a good resource.
And yeah, back to externships. What time of year did you go? Like, were you going on like a Thanksgiving break? Or, because I'm assuming you don't get as many breaks as you do in undergrad.
Yeah, unfortunately you don't. You don't get any breaks in residency. This entire year, I've only been off twice. Not this year, 2025. Like, since this time last year, I was only off 2 weeks the whole year. But yeah, so during
dental school. By one more time, in dental school.
No, I know, yeah. In dental school, the externships, because yes and no. Yes, do externships to get an idea of if you like the specialty. But when you're really trying to hone in on getting exposure to and programs opportunity to meet you, that's really going to be in your D3 year. And I would call early to get that spot. But in July, August, September, I would try and get externships at the programs you really want to go into. Okay. You're going to be fresh on their mind. You're going to, you know, like if you're really good, they're going to see your application come across and put it in. That's a big thing. It doesn't have to be right away. You could do like July, August, September. Those are prime time for showing a program that you like them. But really, any time of the year you can go. It also depends on when the program offers it too. You know, that varies.
And for anybody that doesn't want to do oral surgery, is there something similar, like externships to go to like an ortho residency or perio or anything like that?
Not that I know of. I do know that there are externships, quote unquote externships, at pediatrics and ortho programs. But like everyone I talked to, they were like, Yeah, I went for an afternoon. I met someone for a couple hours and left. That's not an externship. That's like, hey, you know, saying hello for a couple hours, bringing them a donut. But there are some opportunities. Unfortunately, I don't have enough information. I don't really know how they work, though.
All good. Yeah, and I guess just what kind of things did you do on these externships to help them remember you and how to stand out when they saw that application again?
It's going to come down to your personality, your attitude. Attitude is good. Going there every day at least 15 minutes early, staying to the last person, taking call overnight with a resident at least once, speaking with the attendings, not being annoying. Definitely don't want to be annoying. That's for sure. And having a good attitude, showing, always lending a helping hand to the residents. Like, hey, can I help you pour up those models? Hey, can I assist you on this? You need an extra hand suctioning or something? Yeah. Yeah, that's, you know, good attitude, being a team player.
I've got nothing else related to oral surgery, and I guess we can start to go to the reflection and the wrap-up area. Anything that you wish you would have known in undergrad? What sort of advice do you have for somebody that hasn't went through dental school yet and went through everything, things would you tell them?
Yep. And to summarize the thing, stop writing everything down. Start utilizing technology, AI, the To-Do app, Microsoft's To-Do app to get things fast. Use Quizlet for studying, efficient and effective studying, like I said. These are going to be the biggest things. And don't be afraid to do that thing or explore those things that you haven't done before. Go to travel to that country you haven't seen. Spend time with that family member you haven't seen for a while. Go to that concert. That's going to be a big part of, those are the things that make the memories that last, you know? And that's really it. In college, I think what I would have done is really try and explore the network of friends and what people are good at. Everyone's going to have like, this guy can make an app. This girl can, you know, see what you could do. See what you could do with this technology in our hands. Anyone could be a founder of a company, a co-founder of a company. And college is a time where you can really network and meet people with different expertise and skills and talents. And coupling up with a friend or two and creating something new, is that's exciting. I think that's pretty good. And guess what? If you could do it, it's going to go a long way on an application to a medical or dental or any graduate level school. So that's another thing. You might not have to if it explodes. You know?
And what's some advice you would tell your past self, knowing what you know now?
Huh. How far are we going back?
As far as you want to.
I don't know. Maybe keep playing lacrosse and not basketball. Yeah. No. I liked basketball better than lacrosse. You can't regret. You can't go through life regretting. What is this? I don't know if anyone watches anime, but I just finished Attack on Titan like last weekend. And it's funny. The people that don't know anime, it's going to be whatever. But people that know anime, it's better than movies. It's crazy. But when you really find a good story plot like that show. But anyway, one of the guys says to another warrior in the show, he's saying that any moment that you spend on regret, like the guy could get killed. Now hopefully you're not going to get killed thinking about the past or regretting something. But the fact of the matter is, the more you focus on something that you regret, it's eating away at your attention to the next thing that you could be succeeding in, the next thing that you could be accomplishing, the next move or action you need to make to study for that exam, to go find that next dental office to shadow in because you guys are out of state from a dental school, right? Whatever it is, you need to focus on the things that matter, and you need to eliminate distractions in that way.
And this is the last thing I have written down here, but one that I like to ask any doctor I shadow is if you didn't go down this path, so if you weren't in oral surgery residency right now, let's say you didn't go to dental school, what would you be doing right now?
That's a cool question. My dream has always been to produce music. I really want to be I want to make music, and that's something I'm trying to get back to. The problem is that when you're younger, essentially you need to be able to live off money. You need money to live on, right? And going the music, you don't know if or ever there will be enough money to live off of, right? And so, I mean, I went for a more stable position. Luckily, I love surgery, and then in dentistry, it's a nice, clean profession. You still have a more opportunity in dentistry than medicine to own your own office, and kind of you have a lot more freedom, you know, when you have that opportunity to own your own office. You know, when you're working at someone else's office, you can't just leave at 3 o'clock in the afternoon like you're going to take your daughter to soccer practice. You can't just leave. But if it's your office, you could be like, all right, everyone, 3 o'clock today, we're shutting everything down. Everyone's going to head out, you know, or like Friday afternoon, we're going to shut everything down. Let's go get some lunch. Let's go grab a couple drinks for happy hour. And I want to wish everyone a nice weekend or for the holiday or whatever. If you're working for someone else, they're the boss. You're not the boss. That's a fact. And that's what I like about dentistry, because there's still the opportunity for that in a way. Yeah, but music producing.
Alrighty. Well, I've got no other questions for you. Does anybody have any questions for Dr. Gallagher?
Yeah, you guys should call me Brendan. Also, Drew, so have you taken the DAT yet?
No, I'm a sophomore. I'm planning on taking it next, hopefully May. So not this May, next May, but
got it.
Yeah.
Got it. Do you know how many times you could take the DAT?
I do not. Is it three?
I'm not even sure. And it changes, you know what I mean? Like, it changes year to year. But, you know, sometimes it's a good idea to take it, not necessarily early versus late, but like, if you need to take it again, it's good to take it here. So it's like, I know what I'm studying for now. I know what I need to do to pass it. If you wait till the last minute, so May, taking it May of third year of undergrad, right?
Yes, and then hopefully do interviews senior year and then dental school right after.
Yeah, and there's no shame in a gap year. I think gap years give you a much higher level of maturity, honestly, than just going through school your entire life, one after another. So I'm a big advocate for a gap year, but you really want to take a gap year if you need to, right? Like, I needed to. But here's the thing. If you, whatever, in May, what are you going to apply with if you do need, you find out that you need to take it again?
Like, what, DAT score?
No. I'm saying, like, what if you take that DAT and the score isn't what you wanted it to be?
Right.
The timing, you know?
And I'm not opposed to a gap year either. I'm trying to just, I felt like coming into college, I was a little bit behind. I hadn't taken in any of the biology courses or chemistries or anything. So I'm wrapping up Gen Chem right now, right?
Got it.
And so I feel like I'm a little bit just running through it as fast as I can, trying to get through.
Sure.
But I'm opposed to taking a gap year. And maybe that is what'll happen. I guess we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But you got the summers. You got the winter break. You have plenty of time to study for these things. You know, when I took the DAT after my third year of undergrad in July, and I was applying during that time, but the DAT was the last thing I needed on the application. I guess technically, if you take it in May, could you take it 2 months later in July? I don't know. It's something to look into. But over winter break, that's when I studied for the PAT. Are you familiar with the perceptual abilities test? Study for that earlier. Put that in winter break. That's the one course you're not going to have any relation to topic, you're not going to have any course that's related to it in undergrad. Does that make sense? So spend your winter break. Get that out of the way. You know what I mean? Study a couple hours this day, a couple of hours that day, maybe work, whatever you got to do during winter break. But definitely spend a couple, like 2 weeks, I think it'll take you to study for the PAT portion. Then when it comes time to study in May, you're studying everything you already have, you've laid eyes on for. Biology, Gen Chem, Orgo, reading, math. You see what I'm saying? Just my thoughts.
Any questions for him?
Hi, I'm Jacqueline. Nice to meet you.
Hey, Jacqueline.
I do have a question. You mentioned doing, let's say, surgical assistant. I wanted to ask you, how did you get into that? Did you have any qualifications to do it, or how did you go about that?
Oh, great, great question. I had the BLS and whatever the other one was from lifeguarding. So I had the qualification, you know, like basic life support, BLS, right? And then I think that's all I needed. But I had two for lifeguarding. There's like the BLS, and then there was like, maybe it's like a separate lifeguarding one. But so I had what I needed. How did I get that connection? I had met that dentist at the gym. Actually, and his office manager went to the gym too at a different time. And so I met them at the gym, and it kind of the dots connected. And I was asking the oral surgeon and the general dentist for a couple of years through undergrad, like, what do I do to study? How do I get an A in organic chemistry? What should I do to start with the DAT? And so by the time I got there, it was like, I kind of knew them already. And they pretty much just said to me, like, hey, come on in the office, come shadow. And then they were like, hey, come work for me in your gap year. It's going to be okay. And it was all right.
Okay. One more question. I know it's kind of like a taboo subject to touch on, honestly, because a lot of people don't really like to talk about it. But money-wise, financially, how does that situation work when you're in dental school?
You could take out loans depending on, and everyone's situation is different, right? But you could take out loans, and then over time, they're different. I forget what the word is. I'm forgetting it right now, but it's like the interest payments on it over time. They're very high, by the way. But yeah, essentially you take out loans and you make the payments. And it's very important to talk with your loved ones, your family, spouse, significant other, however it works, about like thinking in the future how these are going to be paid back. But generally, they have payment plans over time, and you make payments little by little over time until they get paid back. Some institutions, you know, after you graduate, maybe the Army, maybe some public institutions have payment plans on loans. Private practices now have like stipends that could help you with paying those back. There's many options to pay it back. The one thing I would say is, unfortunately, like, money's a very big and important issue, but don't let that kind of distract you taking your eyes off the target, right? If you want to go into a certain specialty and it's a lot more years or further training, like education in dentistry, rather than just going out of college and working, I think you need to get enough exposure to know that's what I want to do for my 30 plus year career and go for it. And don't let those numbers scare you, because as long as you're happy and you find that you're good at something, the money will come. I can promise you that it will come, and you'll be able to pay everything back in due time.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. Did you take the DAT yet, Jacqueline?
No, not yet. I'm planning. I graduate in December, so I'm planning to study for it over this summer, and then hopefully to get some time in August, September-ish.
Sounds good. That sounds like a plan. Yeah. Enjoy that time. Do it. Work hard. Everyone always likes to put like, oh, I got to do this or that. Just do everything. And then whatever kind of falls off the plate, that's the one that you wasn't most important to you anyway. You know what I mean? Like, things sort themselves out.
Well, if you know, but the DAT is changing the scoring to the 3-digit, I guess, sort of like the MCAT. Do you have any information on that? Do you know anything or talk to anyone that's taken it and gotten that scoring?
I did. And I mean, it just sounds like relatively the same content. It's funny because the CBSE, for example, the scoring has changed like 3 times in the last 5 years. And it comes down to the same thing. Are the questions different? Are the topics different? Maybe the questions different. Are the topics different or are they the same? You know what I mean? It's the same topics. It's the same test, different scoring. It's whatever score you get at the end of the day is what you get, predicated that you put in the time and effort to study enough for them.
All right. Well, if we've got no other questions for them.
Someone pointed this out. They thought this was a poster in the back. That's actually the Empire State Building. I don't know if anyone cares. It was an event 2 weeks, 2 weeks ago in Las Vegas. And one of the girls was like, is that actually the Empire State Building? Yeah, it is. Usually on the hour. So I guess a half hour ago, like they do like some light show on it. But
crazy. What's the furthest west you've been?
Furthest west, Washington State. I went skiing in Whistler. I've also been to Utah, Colorado, Wyoming, ski trips when I was like really small. I got to go over to your guys' place.
Oh, yeah.
Do you ski? Do you guys ski?
I do not. No. I don't know. I don't know about these other guys.
All right, guys. Any other questions? Anything else I could help out with?
Nothing.
No?
Well, thank you for coming in and talking with everyone. I hope this was beneficial to everyone, and I'm sure it was. Do you want to talk about the pre-dent mentor map a little bit? And yeah. Any of those sort of resources, your Instagram, TikTok, all that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, you could find me, my handle's Dr. spelled out Dr. Gallagher, but I mean, I'm not like looking for any accolades or anything. I really just want to help. You know, you could always send me a DM. Drew, you know that. You could always send me a DM. I'm here with questions at any time. Anything I do to help you guys out. I know this process is very stressful and it just becomes more stressful at times, more pressure at times, but find those things, back to self-awareness, find those things that help you kind of just unwind at the end of the day, at the end of the week. Take that time for you. Enjoy the time off that you have, whether it's, and in residency, you guys will see this when you get there. Even in dental school, there sometimes you just have like a couple hours off and then you have a whole nother week or two of work and you gotta learn how to enjoy those little moments. And that's just for life, right? Pre-Dent Mentor Map is a free resource that my buddy Sean and I, Sean's an orthodontist now. I went to dental school with him and we created, we run Students of Dentistry, Elite Dentists, Top Dental Practices, those are Instagram pages. And we created the Pre-Dent Mentor Map. It's a free resource with information of all the dental schools in the United States. We have current dental students that have signed up as mentors at every school where you could submit a couple questions to get answered by them. Because some dental schools have specific things in their application, like they might take biochemistry where others don't need biochemistry. I think that's a good thing. We're now implementing how many students in the graduating year matched into specialties. I think that's valuable information that some dental schools don't want to release. Creighton, we just found out last weekend that Creighton doesn't like to release their match numbers, which is like, why the lack of transparency? I don't know. But anyway, so it's a free resource. You could go on there. You could sign up. It's just like putting in your email or whatever. It's there for free to help you get into dental school and make the process a little less stressful.
Okay. Well, I think that's about it.
All right, Drew. Yep, I gotta sign off. And that's Pre-Dent Mentor Map. So it's Pre-Dent Mentor Mapped at all. But thanks for having me, Drew. Just hit me a DM. Anything I could do to help you out, all right?
Thanks.
And anyone here. All right, thanks, guys. Good night. You got it.